Rob, there was an article that came out last week, and it was a Time magazine article in regards to pregnancy clinics and HIPAA compliance. We thought it was important to repost a interview we did with Pam Stenzel with Community Pregnancy Clinics down there in Florida regarding how important pregnancy clinics and HIPAA compliance is, especially in this post Roe v. Wade season that we're in.
Right, Dawn, we know this is a very important topic on really how HIPAA compliance weaves into pregnancy clinics. So we wanted to bring this episode back from the archives from late last year for our audience to dive in while we unpack the importance of compliance for your clinic. All right, here we go. Welcome to the Van Ryan Compliance Podcast, where we are here to secure the future of your business or clinic this week with a clear plan to reduce your risk. I am Rob.
And I'm Dawn.
And oh, Dawn, do we have a great show in store for everybody, don't we?
We do today. We are interviewing Pam Stenzel. She is on the line, and we are ready to talk HIPAA and pregnancy clinics. Hello, Pam.
Hey, good to be with you.
Thank you for being here. She's a senior regional clinic coordinator for Community Pregnancy Clinics. Pam oversees 5 clinics and 2 mobile clinics in Southwest Florida, with the newest clinic opening in Gainesville, Florida, across the University of Florida campus. Pam has been working in the pregnancy help community for over 30 years and has also traveled internationally, supporting the pregnancy help community as well as promoting sexual integrity to students. While taking on her new role as clinic coordinator in Florida, she became keenly aware of the necessity of HIPAA compliance and the importance of striving for excellence in the movement. Hi, Pam. Thanks again for so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you on a fun topic for me. I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy this.
And we know, Pam, is you always, this is a different direction too, right? Because you're always talking about sexual preparedness and all of that.
Yeah.
And today we're talking about compliance. So welcome your listeners that know you from Pam.
Well, and this is a little prevention-ish, you know, with in a different way. And I got to tell you that when I took over the position, and some people who know me from my past and everything that I have been doing, you know, I had been speaking and traveling and mostly dealing with students. And you get a little bit older and you have to kind of adjust your world. And my speaking schedule slowed down. I mean, it screeched to a halt during COVID, but that's a different issue. But it was already slowing down a little bit. And I wanted to get back where I started, because I started running pregnancy clinics in the Minneapolis area back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I was doing that before, you know, launching the speaking world. So for me, it was like a natural thing for me to come back into the pregnancy help movement, and Community Pregnancy Clinics was amazing. And then they asked me to be this regional clinic coordinator. I probably said yes before I had any understanding of all of that it entailed, but very quickly I realized that it entailed me not only going over our policy and procedures, and the board kind of called it quality assurance, but also it quickly, very quickly involved looking at our HIPAA compliance. And that's where we met. And I'm so grateful for you, because you don't realize how lost you are, even when you feel like you're doing an amazing job, until someone who knows what they're doing steps in and starts asking the right questions. So,
well, we're happy to have you, Pam. So let's, so we want to dive in and unpack some of these really important questions. So really, as someone like yourself who's passionate about education, why should pregnancy clinics need to be focused on data security and HIPAA compliance?
Yeah, you know, sometimes when, and I know those of you who are in the movement like me, we're all about reaching out to women and saving babies and their families. And we're all about the ministry end. And it's really that there's no problem focusing on that. That's what we want to do. But some of these technical things, and I'm going to tell you, I'm the first one who was like, somebody else deal with details. I just let me care about these women and hold some babies, and, you know, but the reality is the movement. And for those of you who've been around as long as me, you'll understand this, but for some of you who maybe are new, or maybe just begun working in this movement, this may come as a surprise to you, but, you know, we really started in the 80s, well, some of 70s, my clinic in Naples opened in 1974. So, you know, 70s and 80s, and even into the 90s, we were just, you know, caring people. Some of us had medical backgrounds, some of us had counseling or social work backgrounds, some of us were just caring individuals. We used a lot of volunteers, and we were not really medical clinics. We weren't operating as medical clinics, and we were doing, you know, some of the same things. Well, when ultrasound came into our movement, which was life-changing for us to be able to offer that service, we really had to kind of change the way we thought and say we are in fact a medical clinic. And then many of us have subsequently added STI testing and to various degrees. So there's been this movement from being just this pregnancy center or this, you know, just group of volunteers who are passionate about helping women and babies turning into full-on medical clinics. The problem is, even though we may have dotted I's and crossed T's in some of the areas where we're hiring medical staff, ultrasound, trained nurses, having a medical director, a doctor overseeing the clinic, I think the last thing, just in my experience as I've traveled and worked with pregnancy clinics across the country, kind of the last thing people decided to care about was HIPAA compliance. And as frustrating as it is, it's the last, it should not have been last. It's so terribly important that now that you have elevated yourself to a clinic, that you operate fully as a clinic and make sure that you're minding, you know, paying attention to these standards. And I've even heard in the movement as late as last year and prior to COVID, just or in the middle of it, first part of it, them saying, well, we don't really have to abide by those laws because we're really just we're not a medical clinic. What are you talking about? If you're performing ultrasounds and any kind of testing, and you're a clinic and you have to operate as such.
Definitely. A lot of people just think they're under the radar and they're not, you know. Let's talk a little bit about ransom attacks. We all thought that, you know, nobody's going to hit a pipeline, right? There's gonna be no hits on our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And you're in Florida, we're in Texas. We're like, oh yeah, we'll be perfectly fine. And we all know the Colonial Pipeline got hit. Yep. All from a ID and a password purchased on the dark net for I think it's like $1,200 or so. And it's like, oh, one password brought down the entire infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And we're coming into fall, and then we'll come into winter. And in Texas, we just shut the power grid down now. It's a lot easier for January and February. But it's critical when we hear customers say, you know, we're under the radar, don't worry about it. I'm a one, you know, we're a clinic that just has one or two people. Mm-hmm. We have wonderful clinics in Colorado that have three people to, you know, size of your clinics that have, you know, 50, 60, 70, or more employees. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. And it's all the same risk because it's all protected health information.
Yep. Yeah. And here's what we need to understand in our movement is we are very, it's political. We all wish it wasn't political. Yeah. In our world, we're like, no, we're just about actual women's healthcare. We're actually here to help these women and help them make positive and right choices about their pregnancy and moving forward. Well, the problem is the political climate is against us. Right now, the head of DHHS, Becerra, who's an attorney, he's not a no medical background at all. He was the former attorney general in California, and he is the one who tried to force pregnancy centers in California, pregnancy clinics, to refer to abortion clinics. And that was fought all the way to the Supreme Court, and we won. NIFLA won, and the attorneys that fought that won. But the problem is now he's head of DHHS. Now with the Texas heartbeat law, well, it's Mississippi's law that's going to be heard in December, but all of the hullabaloo around the Texas heartbeat law. If you don't understand this as a pregnancy health center director or whatever your position is, I don't know what hole you're living. I mean, you need to pull your head out of the sand, because right now they are angry, and the other side is and what they did during the Becerra, versus the Supreme Court, case, it was 3 years ago now or four.
Yeah.
What they did is they launched this national campaign to call us all fake clinics. We're not real, we're fake clinics. And they threw that out into the media, these fake clinics. Well, guess what has been ramped up, and nothing new under the sun. They never figure out better tactics. So they're doing the exact same thing. So I want you to understand that the other side in your community, and we've already seen it in Gainesville. We had protesters outside one of the pregnancy help, not ours, but another one in town. Mm-hmm. They're already doing that, and they're doing it online, and they're calling us fake clinics. in any way that they could get in and expose something that we're doing that is that could put us at risk, they're all over it. So do not think that you don't have eyes on you. And really, especially in the next 4 months, those eyes are going to be staring at everything you do.
Yep.
That's exactly right. You know, and that kind of leads into another thing to talk about is as you know, coming into the fourth quarter, today's the, you know, we're recording this on October 1st, it'll come out next week. As you go into the fourth quarter, and then we're going to go into next year, and then there's a midterms. I mean, we all know the political standpoint of that. As you travel around the country, Pam, what are some of the compliance security issues that you're seeing that clinics are having today, and how can we help them? What do you see?
Yeah, well, there's really two big areas. And I think it was kind of what my eyes were open to when we first started working together. Because, of course, I've got a variety of, I mean, I've got everything from the brick and mortar clinics to mobile clinics, two of them. And so the first thing is just securing data on site. Like what I, you know, that we were kind of loose about it. And I think part of it's because, you know, we're just, hey, we just care. And so, I mean, I don't want to throw some people under the bus. Maybe they won't watch, but we literally had like, we had the locked case. What do you call it? Like a folder.
File cabinet. Yep. Medical bag.
The bag that would go between the clinics and the physician. And would go on the mobile clinic and then back into the locked files. So we physically had it, but no one knew where the key was. So it maybe looked like it possibly was locked, but it wasn't actually being locked. And other ways where you just have to pay attention to where files are and whether they're left open and you know, all kinds of things. So the physical, your physical building or mobile, you know, that is so important. And we talked about like having a plan. I live in Florida. What about a hurricane? What, you know, I mean, I never had to worry about that in Minnesota. So in Florida, it's like, okay, what's the plan? And those are some things where it just, you just have to know the plan. And I think the other thing that was so important is that you have a person where the buck stops here, right? Because sometimes it's, when it's everybody's job, it's nobody's job. And so somebody has to say, and I said I wanted like a sheriff's badge or whatever, a HIPAA badge, like I'm in charge.
Your compliance badge.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm trying to pass it off to someone else now. But the thing is, if that's really what I saw in our organization, that we just, it was no one's really responsibility. So it just kind of didn't get done. And it wasn't that we didn't know we needed to pay attention to that. It's just that no one just sat down and said, I am walking through every clinic. I'm looking at every file. And people didn't like me very much for a little while. I was not everybody's friend, but it's like, we have to abide by this. It's so important. Yep. So that was kind of a big deal. And then just the physical stuff, but then now the online, the web, all of this stuff is so important. And listen carefully, we had to make some giant moves because of COVID and the way we met with clients and the way we reached out to them and what we were sending via text and lessons and everything else. And, you know, before COVID, Zoom was not HIPAA compliant, and they didn't even offer you that option.
Nobody cared.
Nobody cared. And I think with everything that was going on, even with the schools where people were hacking into classrooms and you know, we realized, wait a minute, we have to pay attention to the privacy on these when we want to use these venues or, you know, web stuff. So those of you who have probably heard me talk about HopeSync for the last year, because it's the greatest thing ever for pregnancy helps. We're able to text girls, information. And so it's so important that we pay attention to all of these HIPAA compliance to make sure that everything is safe. And it's been a big process, Rob, really in the last year, don't you think? As a movement, we've come a long way in a year.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have. And I want to go back to what you said earlier is when everybody's in charge, no one's in charge. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we, as we worked with you and the team of community pregnancy clinics and other clinics and customers and everybody is the incident response team and who is accountable. And it's interesting mm-hmm. that sometimes I find it fascinating that these laws were put in place 30 years ago and they're very clear who is in charge of compliance. Mm-hmm. What do we do when something happens? And we're still talking about this during a pandemic, even though, you know, we both live in two states that we're already past it. We moved on.
Yeah, right.
It hasn't been declared it's done, but Texas and Florida are like, oh, it's fine.
Whatever. You got a cold. Move on.
Yeah, exactly. But it hit and everybody's like, what do we do? And then we, and then the problem I saw is the Office for Civil Rights, HHS, they relaxed the Zooms and they relaxed the communication and nobody has really gone back, even though the law went back to where it was, they reinforced it. So now we're seeing an increase in breaches and ransomware attacks. So it's key that, you know, you have that compliance officer, that focal, mm-hmm. And a lot of clinics, it's usually the executive director, someone like you as well. Ed's in charge of that.
Yeah.
Those are key pieces.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is for those of you who are my age, which is grandma age, and
29.
And some of you might watch this and think, oh my goodness, I can't understand all the technology or whatever. Well, hopefully you have someone at your clinic mm-hmm. that is IT. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice because I can say when we're going through our what do we call it? Our overall check.
Yep. Your risk assessment, your risk audit.
Assessment. Thank you. That compliance was the word check. I was looking for. And we get to all these IT things and I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. nor what mm-hmm. it's talking about. And that you are able, you know, Rob and Don were able to work with our IT people and speak the same language so that we can feel assured that we're doing everything we can to protect ourselves. And you know what, instead of it being scary, because listen, sometimes it's just scary and I'm like, forget it. I don't want to understand or figure all of that out. So we do nothing. So do nothing is not an option. So you need to have the right people around you who know what to do so that you can feel assured that it is safe and it's taken care of.
Yep.
Yep.
And Pam, I know you touched on the current climate with Mississippi, the Mississippi case, the Texas heartbeat law. It does create an urgency for pregnancy centers. That being said, the urgency should have been there all along. I mean, don't 100%. You agree? Mm-hmm. The information, whether you're medical or non-medical, we hear this all the time. We're non-medical, but you're still educating. You're still helping women. You're still texting women. You're still taking that information that is extremely sensitive, health information. You're talking all sorts of different information about not only them, but about the situation they're going through. Maybe people involved in the situation, i.e. boyfriend, father, you know, that type of thing. So you are taking in so much sensitive information. And so it should have been top priority all along. HIPAA should be top priority all along. And it's a maintaining that compliance and understanding it and training and educating your staff and your volunteers of how important it is. So with these laws coming up and things happening, it does elevate the, oh my gosh, we need. But it should have been there all along. So
correct. And I think sometimes we've always talked and trained staff and volunteers that we put out all of our services are free and confidential. We put that out there. Mm-hmm. That does not change the fact that sometimes, especially when you have well-meaning volunteers, that they forget what that means. And I think that's why I love the HIPAA structure, mm-hmm. because it's more than just it's confidential. We are following the law. And so when we have to say someone calls, oh, I did this person, and that's information I cannot give you. And it's mm-hmm. not because I don't care that you're concerned about your daughter or whatever it is. That's information that we cannot share. And so, and even internally, I mean, it's interesting for us because we're working across such a geographic area with so many clinics. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. even things that my nurses were communicating with each other from Gainesville to Sarasota or Sarasota to Naples or whatever it might be, it's like you have to watch everything that goes through and what you can't send. You know what I mean? And so it really has helped us to hone that. To even though in our minds we might have thought we're being confidential, no, we need to be serious about that. So important for our clients. If we claim that this is true, that we're protecting their information, then we must do it. And so, yeah. I don't know, Rob, what you think about, I don't mean to joke, but what you think about all this HIPAA going out the window because of COVID. I have been so shocked. I walked into a restaurant and they said to me, well, are you vaccinated? I said, I don't know. Do you have herpes? Because last I checked, that's PHI. That I don't have to share with you, nor you with me.
Yep.
And so people have gotten completely, you know, oh, whatever. Yep. We're just going to tell everyone our health information. No.
Yeah.
No. No, you brought up a great point. The regulation was never put on pause, but mentally we all put it on pause.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, all the data privacy laws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was there. And it's a typical thing, right? You've given an inch, you take a mile.
Yep.
You know, mom said, take one cookie. What do the kids do? We take four. Mm-hmm. Or our kid just takes the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's a different podcast.
Yep.
But you're right. The government, actually globally, no governments redacted the importance of data privacy and security, but it got so nonchalant that people just said whatever. Mm-hmm. And so yes, next time we go to a restaurant this week, and I'll say, hey, if they ask me for the card, I'll say, do you have herpes?
Yeah, try it, see how they respond to that. But here's the thing, I think for our community, for those that are listening to me from our community, is that in an environment where some act like this doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you right now that the minute you do it, it's going to matter. So we all know that there are rules that it's hard to play a game when you feel like one side never has to abide by any rules. Mm-hmm. And then your side has to abide by every rule or you get slammed. But that's where we are. And that's the situation we're living under.
Yep.
So we can't say, well, because Planned Parenthood doesn't freaking care about HIPAA and they're doing crazy things that ought to shut them down tomorrow, but somehow they get a political pass. We will never get that political pass. Mm-hmm. We will not get it. And so it is so important that you don't leave any room. Don't leave any room for them to come and shut you down.
Yep.
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 Yep. No, that's great.
Yep.
That's exactly right. And we also need to focus on that it's not just health information, but it's all information.
All of it. Yeah.
So this is the reason why, you know, there's the HIPAA compliance laws that ultimately went over to Europe, and there's the GDPR framework, mm-hmm. right? They base that off the NIST standards of the US. We still set a lot of the standards in the world. And then the state of California took that and created CCPA. And then the state of New York took CCPA and created New York Shield Act. And next up, there's Ohio and then
Virginia.
Yeah, thank you, Don. Virginia is up next. And then there's the talk Florida and Texas, because there's so many people, will adopt a more stringent data privacy law. And then there's additional talk at the federal level because of the Colonial Pipeline hit. You know, so I still believe we will see a federalized data privacy law, but your patients that are coming to the clinics that are looking for help, they want you to protect all the data,
mm-hmm.
you know, down to phone number, Twitter handle, Facebook handle, Instagram mm-hmm. post, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They expect it.
Yeah.
Those women expect it. They're already putting trust in you, you know, and to come in for help, but they are expecting the clinic that they are visiting to protect their data and to not say things to the people that they didn't authorize you to say things to. That's a Correct. Big thing. So that's a big thing. We're seeing staff and volunteers, especially volunteers. You've got a lot of staff that have some nursing background, definitely a mm-hmm. lot of our customers, but you have volunteers that are doing it because they believe in the mission. They want to be there. They want to listen. They want to help. But they don't quite understand that if so-and-so calls, oh yeah, she's here, that they can't say that. So it's very important to educate.
Yep. Yeah. Even the volunteers that some of ours, well, I'm in Florida, so we have a lot of you know, retirees or mm-hmm. older people too. And maybe they were a nurse and haven't been in the nursing setting for a decade. Do you know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. it's just really important to mm-hmm. come back and have everybody trained. And that's why I love the fact that, well, your HIPAA trainings and I haven't gotten to see the new one, so I'm very excited about that yet. But they're so good and easy, and all of my staff can do it. I have record that they've done it. And if there's questions, you know, they can come back to us or whatever. But we know all volunteers, all staff, anyone, even my admin staff, I may do it, you know, who really mm-hmm. just work in development. I don't care. So everybody has been trained. Everybody has taken the classes. Everybody is aware.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's great.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes, we do like our new training. It is up and running.
So yay. Well, I'm excited. I need to check and see if mine is up and running.
Yeah, I know, because it's a 1 year, and I think you guys are coming up in the next month.
Yeah.
And what recommendations do you have, you know, for clinics to get HIPAA compliant and protect their mission? Well, where do you,
you know,
are you seeing?
You need to have somebody who knows what they're doing help you. Do mm-hmm. not pretend that you, first of all, it coming into compliance is enough work by itself. You don't need, don't hand me all these laws, because I don't have time, nor do I understand. So having someone who that's what they do, that's what they know, be able to walk you through it, ask the right questions. I mean, that is so huge. So if I were faced with this without your help, you know, I don't even know where I would have started. So you absolutely need to have someone walk you through this. And My staff in Gainesville all laughed at me, because the first time Rob and I started doing our risk assessment, he got mm-hmm. frozen on my screen on my computer and we couldn't get his face off. And so finally my husband was like, I don't know who this guy is on your computer every time you turn it on, but he needs to go.
It's that creeper guy. Yeah. Got to get rid of him.
Rob again.
So sorry. I'll apologize on his behalf.
But
nobody wants to see this.
I know, but it is a little bit painful. So, do you know what I mean? Because there's a lot you have to understand. So don't try to be the expert. We're not asking you to be the expert. We're actually asking you to get someone who is involved. And then you have your book of evidence at the end of it. You have mm-hmm. all the paperwork that says we are abiding by these things. And it's so much easier to be, you know, to help make sure policies are being followed than it is to figure out what policies do we need to have. So the first step is to making sure you fully understand exactly what needs to be, and then you can implement it. And it doesn't have to be done in a week. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the other thing. Don't let that scare you, because it's a lot that there's time. I mean, and once a month we meet and we go over where are the holes, what do we need to redo? Yep. So it is so helpful to have, and it's just helpful, necessary, everything, to just have someone who this is what they know and this is what they do, walk you through it so you can feel confident at the end of the process that everything is going the way it needs to.
Yep.
And for those clinics that are on the fence, oh, I don't think I need to do it, or should we do it, or do we have the money? That's a big thing we hear about. How can clinics, how can they all have boards. You know, there's board members. So we run into this where sometimes we're talking to the executive director and, well, the board and this and that, like, what can you offer? What kind of tips as far as is presenting that to the board? Once we've presented it to the director, you know, they have it in their hands to present to the board. So what kind of tips can you give them to present it and press upon the importance of it?
Yes. Number one, find out. The one of your allies should be your medical director. So that's a physician who does understand the importance and understands the risk, and the risk to their license, by the way. That's another thing that I might, you know, listen, you're putting your name on everything that we're doing medically, and something goes wrong and that goes back to your license. Mm-hmm. So, and then find out who on the board is more understanding. I mean, you know, yeah. I love pastors. They're wonderful. But sometimes, you know, again, their focus is all ministry and, you know, whatever. It's so important to have some solid business people and people who kind of understand how things work in the real world on your board. The money thing drives me insane because we do so many things sometimes in ministry, and I just did that,
virtual quotes.
Yeah, virtual quotes. So,
that's it.
And then it's like, oh, well, we can't afford that. And sometimes we're saving money in really wrong areas and not spending money where it needs to be spent. And then it's like, no. Here's the thing that I would say to my board. One breach could shut us down. We're done. The doors are closed. We'll never be able to reach out to any more women like that. So how important, where do we put priority on making sure that we're not vulnerable to an attack and to being completely shut down in what we're doing? So to me, that's high, high priority. And there's not a lot of other things that you're doing every day that could shut your doors like this could. So for them to think, well, it's a lot of, no, it's money that must be spent. And I think if those of you who, some of the pregnancy centers are connected with NIFLA as we are, and we've been going through a lot of webinars with them. And I got to tell you, if you haven't been paying attention the last few months, to Tom Blessner and to everything that they're saying about the reality of what's coming down the pike to pregnancy clinics across the country, then you need to go back or see if you can listen to that. Again, if your board needs to understand one breach or even supposed breach, or I mean, literally
incident
like that could shut your doors. Yeah. And, you know, I worked so hard during COVID to make sure that we never shut our doors, and whatever we had to do, whatever we had to keep open, because the abortion clinics never shut down. They stayed open through all of COVID. And I'm like, we can't afford to not be here for women. And you know what? Here you have this great mission. This is what you tell your community you're doing. This is what you're taking donations to do. And yet you have one incident and you're shut down. All of that's gone. Yep. So this is about protecting your ability to continue to minister and to stay open and to handle any attack that would come your way.
Yep. And you brought up some good points there, Pam, about NIFLA and about the other folks. And we're going to add that into the show notes so that people can get more information. And it's, you know, I think it's time to wake up. And we work with providers and clinics and everybody from all different
industries,
financial backgrounds to ministries to, you know, we have clients that pay a few $100 to under $100 to $1,500 a month to whatever it works. And we're going to even talk about some of that, you know, nonprofit special pricing we'll have on the show notes and everything and how to do that. But those are key pieces, and it's time to really focus on it. And it's kind of like, you know, you really got to treat it like it's your own data. You know, the old golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. Yeah. Would you want your son or daughter's information leaked or inappropriately put on a Facebook or Twitter post? No. And it takes that one incident. And one thing we always remind people is the government doesn't have time to go out and look for the incidents or breaches. They don't care. What they do is they care to enforce it. Who's looking for that are your patients, are their friends, are the communities, is the media. We already know the media machine and all that. And it takes just one tweet, one Facebook post, and actually one email to Health and Human Services, and it opens an immediate investigation. Now, it may take 6 months. We know, like taxes, taxes been messed up last year. It may take 6 months for them to send the letter that there's an incident they're investigating, but they're going to do it. They always answer everything.
Yep.
So the eyes are always looking. Yep. So do the right thing. Yep. You know, have that integrity, right?
Yep.
Protect that data as you definitely should.
Yeah. Yep. And like I said, sometimes, you know, it's not that we don't intend to or care or all of those things. It's just that we didn't know and we didn't have someone paying attention to that. So what we're saying is it's okay to say, you know what, I haven't really paid as close attention to this as I should have, and I maybe didn't understand all of the risks. It's a massive risk. So get the help that you need to make sure that all of that is safe and that you're not, there's no reason that anybody would be able to come in and shut you down.
Yeah. Yep. It's yep. Great. Definitely. Yep. Definitely. Yep. It has been an amazing pleasure. I think Dawn, right?
Yes.
For Pam, for you to be here on the Van Ryan Compliance Podcast. And how can our listeners learn more about you?
So I'm doing kind of both things. I'm still in the pregnancy centers, but I'm also traveling and speaking, which has been a blessing. I'm doing 9 fundraising banquets for pregnancy wow. centers.
In person?
Yeah, from September. I did 3 last week through till the end of the year. And when I come in and do a fundraising banquet and raise money for you, I also speak to students, whether it's schools or because we don't want students at the fundraising banquet because they don't have money. Mm-hmm. So I always tell them, you know, let's do something for the students and then do that. And it's just been a joy and because I love what you do and I know what you do. And I just want to make sure that all of our pregnancy centers across the country are thriving and their needs are being met and that they're able to continue to reach out to the women that God's called them to do that too. So enlightencom.com is how you find me and my schedule and talk to the people who decide where I get mm-hmm. to go. What my manager doesn't own a globe. He sent me from Minot, North Dakota last week to Grover Beach, California. So that was a fun travel week.
Yes.
Yep. But yeah, no, just really would okay. love to be involved and support what you're doing out there in any way that I can.
Yeah. And you're also on brightcourse.com and hopesync.com.
Yeah, we have hopesync and brightcourse. So you can get lovely things like that. And again, another reason why you have to be HIPAA compliant, because these are amazing tools, yep. but you're going to be entering into using maybe some venues that you've not used before. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure that all that is correct.
Well, yep. Pam, as always, we appreciate you and what you bring. We so much care about the mission. We for you, your clinics, and also a lot of our customers. And we do definitely want to protect that mission and help folks so they don't have to close their doors. And so definitely go to those websites to find out more and connect with Pam. And then for our listeners, we are offering our nonprofit pricing to get you started in your compliance journey. And this includes time with us, guiding you through the compliance process, training staff and volunteers. Would love to hear from you, would love to help you, help support your mission. And we're going to do that through the month of October. And maybe then some more. We'll see. We just want to help those folks. So.
Thanks to all the wonderful listeners. This has been a wonderful conversation with Pam Stenzel. And once again, thank you for joining the Van Ryan Compliance Podcast, a show that secures the future of your business with a clear plan to reduce your risk. Until next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.